Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Aviles shares his thoughts and reflections on this week's gospel, as well as other issues and events happening in the diocese.
Good morning, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse De Leon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Mario Alberto Aviles, and it is the second Sunday of Lent. Bishop, another week to make our progression in our journey, and we're glad you're with us this morning. Today, a very momentous day in our diocese, because in just a little while, you'll be giving Mass for a lot of young people over at DCYC, which is the Diocesan Catholic Youth Conference, happening at Del Mar College, the Richardson Auditorium. Over 1,100 young people will be present. I'm sure that touches your heart in so many ways, because our young people are the future of our church.
Yes. Thank you, Jesse, and good morning to everyone. This is a beautiful, opportunity to connect with the youth in our diocese, which are the presence of our church. So we all have to pray for our young people, because it has always been difficult to be young. I'm sure you people that listen to us and remember when we were young, it was difficult, but nowadays it's double difficult, to be young, because there's so many things, out there, and so we need to really pray. And I invite everyone to keep our youth in our prayers, particularly today that so many are gathering there at Del Mar to celebrate Mass and to hear about the Lord and to spend time together. So I think it's a wonderful blessing for our diocese.
Absolutely. We thank everyone also who's planned this event, and it's no small feat to bring so many young people together in one place. So thank you in advance for the Mass you'll be celebrating a little bit later on today, and everyone who is going to be at that event. Again, as Bishop said, we pray for our young people on this second Sunday of Lent. As we hear now the gospel, if you would now proclaim that for us, Bishop.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, Moses and Elijah appeared to them, conversing with him. Then Peter said to Jesus in reply, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud cast a shadow over them. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell prostrate and were very much afraid. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and do not be afraid. And when the disciples raised their eyes, they saw no one else but Jesus alone. As they were coming down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, Do not tell the vision to anyone until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. One of the luminous mysteries here, the transfiguration of Jesus. And every time I hear this gospel, what I always think about is how these men that were accompanying Jesus were everyday men. And here they are seeing this transfiguration and what must be going through their minds as ordinary people. And all of a sudden they're faced with Jesus, who is true God and true man. A moment that obviously set the course for so many beautiful things to come.
Yes, the apostles had a taste of heaven there, because, Jesus is transfigured and his clothes became white as light, as the gospel said, and his face shone like the sun. So just try to picture that.
Mm-hmm.
And also they are able to see Moses and Elijah, mm-hmm. that they were two of the most prominent, figures of the Old Testament. That's why the Gospel of Matthew mentioned their names.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like seeing or being in heaven, you know, and so for them, and then this cloud that covers them, and then the voice of God, which, you know, we have also in the scripture, the voice of God is defined sometimes as loud trumpets, because it's God talking. I'm sure it was not just like we're talking now,
right?
You know, a strong voice. Just trying to picture that. So, you know, it was so powerful and so difficult to understand at a human level that they you know, prostrate themselves, and they were afraid, you know, of seeing all this happening. So let's try to imagine that situation. And also I wanted to, you know, call the attention of all of you on that part when Peter says to the Lord, "It's so good to be here," you know. Again, this is they had a taste of heaven, so we can imagine the peace that they were feeling, mm-hmm. you know, and that Peter expresses, let's stay here. Let's build three tents, you know, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and let's just stay here.
Right.
Because remember, after this is when the Lord goes down the mountain and goes into Jerusalem, mm-hmm. you know, for his passion and suffering and death. And the Lord said, no, we have to go down, you know, and they didn't stay up there in the peace and the beauty and all of these because it is necessary. So, Jesse and, you know, and all of our listeners, we can identify ourselves with this gospel, you know, situations in life sometimes when everything is going so well, you know, we all have those moments, which, by the way, you know, let's pay attention to those moments when everything is going well mm-hmm. and we're happy and we're in good, you know, in good terms with the Lord and all that. There are a lot of those moments. Sometimes mm-hmm. we focus in the bad times,
right.
but there are a lot of more good moments. Okay. So we can all identify with this situation of, you know, Peter saying, it is so good to be here. But no, they couldn't stay there.
Right.
They had to go down the mountain and go into Jerusalem and all that. So that happens sometimes.
It's a natural human tendency to want to stay in that comfort zone and not move on. And all the things that I think we think about, we think, well, if we could just stay here, everything would be fine. But we're called to go and move forward and get out of that comfort zone and challenge ourselves, but also be the light to others. And that involves taking that step off the mountain.
And also, we can feel comfortable when we are just living under the standards of the world,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Then, you know, I have a lot of friends. You know, my social media accounts have so many followers. So this is so good. You know,
right.
why doing something else when I have all these followers on my social media, when I have all these friends, when I can go out and have fun, and this is so good. But even, you know, those moments can be, you know, a temptation of saying, I'm okay, I'm mm-hmm. good in this situation, living under the standards of the world, or living in a stage of sin, saying, well, it feels good, you know,
right.
to do this. Or if, you know, if we have any situations, any problems with you know, addictions or things like that, and we say, well, I feel good doing this, so let's stay here, and,
right.
and we don't want to move forward. You know, that's also something that we have to pay attention and say, no, we cannot stay in the things that are not good for us, but it might make us feel good, but they're not good to us. We have to go down the mountain, you know, take care of those situations and walk, you know, towards, you know, sacrifice, because at the end, you know, after the Lord being in the mountain and going down into Jerusalem, at the end it was the resurrection.
Right.
You know, and now in the second Sunday of Lent, we're getting closer to the wonderful feast of Easter, and that's our hope, and that's why we, you know, keep moving forward, and, you know, encourage us to in this path of Lent.
What I love about what Peter was saying, Peter is very relatable, because you say we want to stay in that zone, But Jesus, by going down the mountain, he widened everyone's view. He kind of brought the whole picture into focus. Because if you stay on the mountain, like you were saying, hey, I have all these followers, I'm in this lifestyle or whatever it is, but you're sort of cut off and you're sort of isolated. But going down the mountain and being sort of a wider view takes the emphasis off of you, and we become community, which is what I think Jesus calls all of us to do, especially during this time of Lent. And we're already, as you said, on the second Sunday of Lent, this image of Jesus, something that we carry with us, as you said, they got a taste of heaven. And this experience is something that sets the stage ultimately for, as you said, his passionate but ultimate resurrection.
Yeah, and going down the mountain is also giving us the example, like you're saying, very well said, Jesse. You know, the Lord goes, and it's not just to stay here with the apostles and what was happening there at the mountain, but going down the mountain and going into his passion and death to love us all, mm-hmm. you know, to show us the love of the Father for each one of us. You know, that's why Jesus went down the mountain, to carry that cross and to show us how much God loves us.
I think in that reflection, looking at those two different voices, it's something that maybe we could read as we're reading the passage. We may not really pay too much attention to it, but then we hear us siding with Peter saying, let's stay here. It's comfortable. It's beautiful. But Jesus is saying, we're called to more. We're called to take this to the world and face whatever that may present to us, but still walking in faith and coming off the mountain is hard for people to do.
And it's not an easy thing. And you know, for those that are listening to us, they might say, well, it sounds really, really nice, but you know, it's difficult. Yes, it is difficult. Mm-hmm. We're not saying that it's easy.
Right.
It was difficult for the Lord. Remember mm-hmm. that he felt lonely when he was at the garden just before his passion, mm-hmm. you know, that's why he was sweating blood, because right. he felt alone. He felt like everybody had left him. So it's not an easy thing, but also, you know, Jesus knew he was doing the will of the Father, and willingly, you know, he got up and went and up to the cross. So same thing with us. It's not an easy thing to do, but it is possible with God's grace and the sacraments and prayer and so forth.
And in doing that, again, we find another moment where, again, Jesus is relatable to us, because we can relate to those moments of feeling isolated, feeling like maybe if we're praying or if we're asking for something and we don't get the answer that we want right away, or we don't recognize it right away, we tend to have that feeling of, well, maybe I am all alone, but we never are. But it's just the getting away from that mentality of focusing on ourselves and opening up to God's will. Such a powerful idea to embrace during this time of Lent.
That's correct. That's correct.
And speaking of Lent, we have the series that you have been presenting that has given everyone an opportunity to reflect at the foot of the cross. And it's something that you wanted to record with fellow priests in the diocese as an offering of Lenten reflection for everyone. And this week, you will be talking to Father Luis Lozano, a recently ordained priest. And Father Luis, very active, very full of energy, and offers some really great reflections. Tell me about your conversation with him.
This is the purpose of these Lenten reflections. They're short, they're to the point. We offer, you know, practical things to do during Lent so we can keep our Lenten journey. And yes, as you mentioned, you know, this time is Father Luis, but you will also hear from Monsignor McCall, which is one of our retired priests. Mm-hmm. And they all offer, you know, their reflection from their points of view. You know, Father Luis just recently ordained, not even a year.
Right.
And Monsignor has been a priest for 63 years. So I invite you all to listen to these reflections. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful, and they're coming from your shepherds, from the priest that you know, mm-hmm. and the priest that God has given you to guide you.
We will hear your discussion with Father Luis in our next segment. And also, we invite everyone to check out the video version of those reflections. They're posted at diocesecc.org. You can find it all there. And thank you again, Bishop, for the time you took to gather everyone together and have these wonderful conversations, these reflections that help us as our journey continues through Lent.
True. And they're also available in Spanish. We recorded these reflections at the foot of the cross, Al Pie de la Cruz, in Spanish, and they're also available
there. Yes, they're available there on the website as well, and all that information, again, at diocesecc.org. That is where you can find all the information. We will hear that reflection with Father Luis as Our Shepherd's View continues. We will be right back. Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. I am Jesse De Leon, here with the Most Reverend Bishop Mario Aviles. And we would like to take this opportunity to talk about something that is on the calendar in April, will be the Andrew Dinner, presented by the Diocese of Corpus Christi's Office of Vocations. This event gives young men in our diocese an opportunity to gather for a no-pressure evening of learning more about the life of a priest and to begin to discern if God is calling them to a vocation in the priesthood. Now, the name of the event is called the Andrew Dinner because the Apostle Andrew, in the Gospel of John, brought his brother Simon Peter to meet Jesus. And the name of the event, the Andrew Dinner, refers to how Andrew brought others to follow Christ. Now, while we are talking about the Andrew Dinner and the call to the priesthood, share with us, Bishop, if you would, how you were able to discern your vocation to become a priest.
Before my ordination in 1998, there was a whole journey of the seminary life and my life as a religious. I joined the Congregation of the Oratory of St. Philip Neri. It's a congregation that is not well known because we're few priests and brothers, but it's a congregation that was founded by St. Philip Neri in 1575, a long time ago, and it started in Rome. And then, you know, spread throughout the world. And the community that I joined, or the house that I joined, is here in Texas, in the city of Far, in the Diocese of Bronzeville. So this is part of my vocation, not only to the priesthood, but also to this religious community, that I invite everybody to, you know, to know St. Philip Neri, not because he's my founder, but it's a great saint that can teach us a lot. You know, maybe in the future I can share a little bit more about St. Philip, and because at the end the life of the saints are there for us to imitate and to know that, you know, men and women, children, married people, young people, older people, they can be examples of in our way to heaven. So I joined the oratory, did my novitiate like all in religious communities. The path of my education took me to Rome, Italy, which was a great blessing to be there studying. And I got to meet, and I'm very, very proud of this and, you know, very humble that I got to meet St. John Paul II.
Wow.
when he was Pope. That tells you how old I am, a little old. And but as a seminarian, I served at one of his masses, and I was able to receive communion from St. John Paul II, and talk briefly with him after the mass, and receive the blessing, and that was a wonderful experience. So my years of formation were really blessed, and because of that, those experiences like that, and until the time for my ordination came in 1998. I came back to Texas after my studies, and I was ordained there at the Basilica of Our Lady of San Juan del Valle, which later, 20 years later, also was ordained a bishop at the same basilica. So pretty much all my adult life and my years after my ordination, I have spent it there in the Diocese of Bronzeville and in the Valley.
Very moving. Thank you, Bishop, for sharing that. And speaking of vocations and ordinations, we would like to welcome Father Luis Lozano, who was just ordained to the priesthood last year. He is the parochial vicar at the Corpus Christi Cathedral, and he joins us now for this week's Lenten Reflection at the Foot of the Cross.
And on this second week of the time of Lent, we had the opportunity, to walk with you this journey
towards the great feast of Easter, but most importantly, to have the opportunity to reflect in our lives and, you know, how are we doing in this journey towards heaven. With me today is Father Luis, the vicar at the Cathedral of Corpus Christi, that is here with us. Father, welcome.
Thank you very much, Bishop Mario.
And Father Luis, on this second week, we are presented in the Gospel with the Gospel that we all know as the Transfiguration. And, you know, this this event that happened with our Lord going with some of his apostles into the mountain and be transfigured, and, you know, they had the opportunity to hear the voice of the Father, you know, confirming that Jesus is his son and beloved one. But, you know, what can we, you know, help our faithful to understand and to meditate on this event, which is, it's a very simple event. You know, they're going up the mountain, you know, Transfiguration, they see this, and then they go down, right? But there's a very important dialogue there between the Lord and his apostles. You know, can you help us, you know, to comment on this?
I like what Peter says to our Lord. He says, it is good that we are here, and he wants to make these tents, and he wants to stay. And it reminds me of how a couple weeks ago when we were on our priest retreat up in the little hill country of Texas, and we had a good time, the priest, to rest and hear good reflections. And then as soon as we got back from retreat, Lent starts, the work starts, Ash Wednesday. And sometimes I think in our own spiritual life or regular life, we can want to stay where we're at, comfortable, complacent. But Jesus is challenging us to grow, to go down from the mountain to the whatever in life that we don't want to face, whatever struggles that we don't want to face, whatever busyness there is, and to seek it with a renewed sense of who he is and who we are.
Yes, and I think this gospel comes perfectly on this second week, because we have left behind the beginning of Lent and that all that excitement and of the ashes of Ash Wednesday and the beginning and the first Friday of you know, abstinence of meat. And, you know, it's a good reminder that sometimes in life, like you were saying, Father, things are going very well, and we wanted to say, like, just like Peter, let's build, you know, three tents and stay here because it's so good, right? But we know that difficulties are going to come, you know, because that's what life is, you know, and temptation is going to come, and sin is going to come, and but we need to be ready to overcome all of these, right? To keep ourselves in good standing. That's what I call. So I think it's a good reminder for this second week of Lent. This gospel and these words, like you were saying, I think that they're very accurate. You know, Peter says, let's stay here. You know, everything is so good. And the Lord, you know, said, no, this is it. Because after that, he went down the mountain, and then he went to Jerusalem, right, to be crucified. And he knew that. But it was necessary, the suffering and the cross, in order to, you know, do God's will and keep moving forward. So let us think on that on this second week of Lent, that as we reflect on this gospel of the Transfiguration of the Lord, in those particular words of, you know, Peter saying, it's so good here, let's stay. And the Lord saying, no, we need to go down the mountain. We need to go through the sacrifice and the suffering, because at the end, we will experience the resurrection. So, my dear friends, as we continue moving forward in this time, holy season of Lent, let us keep doing a big effort to stay, to pray, to do penance, sacrifice, and to receive the sacraments, so we can continue on our journey this Lent towards this great celebration of Easter, and of course on our journey towards heaven. Thank you, Father, for being with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bishop. We also wish to express our gratitude to Father Luis Lozano for his words and insight, And if you would like to see the video of what we just heard, the name of the Lenten video series is At the Foot of the Cross, Reflections for Your Lenten Journey. And you can find the videos in English and Spanish, as well as other Lenten resources, by going to diocesecc.org/Lent. Bishop, if you would now end our program with a prayer and a blessing.
Yes, definitely. We ask the Lord to help us to be that, to make the difference. So, Heavenly Father, we ask you to send the light of your Holy Spirit so we can be true instruments of you to our brothers and sisters, to be that light of the world that illuminates everyone and help us to see the little things in life that we can do so we can make the difference in this world. We ask these through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Mario Alberto Aviles, Bishop of Corpus Christi. Our Shepherd's View is a production of 89.5 KLUX and the Diocese of Corpus Christi Office of Communications and Public Relations. You can hear the podcast of this program at goccn.org. Thank you for listening.